Sure didn't know it was gonna hit me this way. And the radio just keeps on playing all these songs about rain.
So I'm not going to steal the spotlight here because we've got a lot to talk about, but I just want to share, Farmer Greg, what one thing I've been installing during the extra time I've had at home now with rodeos canceled. We've had extra weekends at home, and I'm doing something I've been trying to do forever, and that's gutter the shade from our horse stalls. And all of that guttered water is directed to my pecan trees. Now,
oh, perfect.
Calculate it up on your 600 gallons per 1,000 square feet.
Yep.
Once I'm finished, I will be able to divert on 7 inches of rain average a year, 20,000 gallons of rainwater onto the pecan trees.
Yeah. Now that's what I'm talking about.
That adds up.
And pecan trees need a lot of water to grow, too.
Yep. Yep.
Nut,
yeah, they do.
Nut trees in general. When the takes a lot of water to grow a nut.
Sure does. Look at me.
There you go. So, we talked about my expensive rainwater harvesting system. Let's talk about my passive, inexpensive rainwater harvesting system. And this is going back to the tale of two rainwater harvesting systems. My $1,500 tank in the back. That's not so passive, by the way. In order to make it work, I have to hook up a hose to a spigot and then drag that hose somewhere. And that may not seem like a lot, but it that makes it not passive. And when I say passive, what I mean is that the entire system just works no matter what. And I have an $80 tankless system that is on the south side of my roof here at the Urban Farm. It cost me $80. It harvests the same amount of water as the north side of my property that cost me $1,500, and there's virtually nothing for me to do except clean the gutters. I clean the gutters twice a year. The water runs down the pipe, runs about 35 feet out into a small orchard, and waters several figs, a couple of citrus trees, and an apple tree. And it's that simple.
And there's a couple, I think I counted three different times in your talking points, you made a point to never to end the water into an open air space. Explain that.
Never dead end the gray water or rainwater in dirt. You always want to dead end it in an open air space. So with the $80 tankless system, what I did is I dug a hole in the backyard where I wanted to plant the water. And when you are moving water, the pipes need to slope a quarter inch per foot in order for that water to run. So the farther you run the water, the deeper you have to go. And so what we're doing is we're collecting the rainwater on the roof, running it down the gutters, down the pipes, down about a 30-foot length of black 3-inch pipe that I put in the ground, and I cascade that water in a tank in the ground. So before you get wrapped up in thinking, oh my gosh, he's got a tank planted in the ground that he now has to get the water out of, this particular tank has no bottom in it. So that when the water comes down the pipe and into this underground tank, it percolates in immediately. So are you asking yourself, Romy, why are we doing that? The thing about dead-ending water in anything but air is that the roots of the plants will clog it so quickly because roots will go through dirt. And if you're dead-ending a water source in dirt, those roots are going to find that pipe and they're going to clog the pipe. If you dead-end it in a tank underground that has no bottom in it, and by the way, this particular one, I just used a 55-gallon drum that I cut in half, and I put it in the ground. Those roots don't go up through the air into the pipe, as a general rule. So several things about water harvesting. You need to direct your water. You need to have a slope on the pipe, 1/4 inch per foot, so that the water runs downhill. And when that water is exited into a space, you need to exit it into an airspace so that the roots don't clog it. And it's really that simple.
So dead end it into air makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. And so much of this that I'm talking about, I've learned from Brad Lancaster and Art Ludwig out of their books. Brad Lancaster's book is Rainwater Harvesting for Drylands and Beyond. And Art Ludwig's book is Create an Oasis with Gray Water.
And gray water is the main talking point for this segment. So let's dive into that topic. And you had mentioned now that it's legal no matter what jurisdiction or municipality you live in Arizona.
Yeah. And so Brad, in his infamous wisdom, Brad Lancaster, about 15 years ago, started working with the Arizona Department of Environmental Services and convinced them to put in guidelines for gray water, making it legal throughout the state to use gray water. And the cool thing about gray water is or the water in your house, about up to 80% of it is gray water, and you can use that in your landscape. A few guidelines for gray water. You never want to store gray water. What happens with gray water if you store it, Romy?
I don't want to, you know, people are eating breakfast right now, Greg.
Exactly. Exactly. Another thing is you want to use your gray water on shrubs and trees. I like to use gray water on permanent plants, not vegetables, because, you know, you don't really know what's in the gray water. Even if you're really conscious about what you put down the drain, there still could be some crud in it. So I stay away from vegetables with watering with gray water. And you never want to put I get this question a lot, believe it or not. People want to store the water and then put it in their drip system. That's going to clog it pretty quickly. And gray water, you always want to exit subsurface. So you want to put that gray water underground so it percolates in. And one of the things that I've done in my gray water basins is I dig a basin, and my basins are maybe 5-foot diameter, and took out most of the dirt down to about 2 feet, and I filled it with woody mulch. And so every year I'm just adding woody mulch into that basin, and it acts like a great big sponge that holds onto that water, and then all that woody mulch breaks down into an absolutely amazing soil.
And then what do you do with that soil?
Ah, well, I grow trees around it. So that's the gray water system that is on my back patio for my outdoor kitchen sink is, it goes into a basin and it waters, it waters a grapevine, a citrus tree, a papaya, a mango, and one other tree. So I'm actually building the soil in that basin to nurture the trees that are growing around it.
And you said those basins are about a 5-foot diameter?
Yeah, I make mine about 5-foot diameter.
And
I, go ahead.
How many basins are supplying all those trees?
Ah, good question. So I have, for the sink on my back patio, I have two basins. I have a split gray water system coming out of the back of the sink, so it pushes half the water one direction, half the water the other direction. And this sink we use to wash our hands and rinse vegetables and, you know, basically come in from the yard, you know?
So, Greg, just so I'm clear, gray water can be used on trees, citrus trees, but not in vegetable gardens, correct?
You know, you have to figure out what works for you. And, you know, when I look at gray water, we don't know what's in it. I definitely shy away from using it in my vegetable garden.
Okay.
It just makes the most sense. So when I put my gray water system in 2006 here at the urban farm, it took me 4 months to get a permit because everything I do here at the urban farm, I do with permits because I open this place up for people to come in and see what we're up to. So I want to say, you know what, this was done with a permit. This is how you do it. And it took me a good 6 months to get a permit. I actually had to talk with the deputy director of the water department of the city of Phoenix to educate him on, gray water, because they wanted me to hook up my outdoor shower and the outdoor sink to the sewer system. And that kind of defeats the purpose. So sometimes we have to do educating. That was 15 years ago. And there's a lot more knowledge about how to do this now, which is really cool. Thanks to Brad and all the people that are working in this arena.
And then to get your permit, any municipality you live in, they have what's called a one-stop shop down at the city office. And you go down there and bring your plans. And just about, you know, if you've never done it before, just be prepared. It's going to take you about 900 trips.
All right, maybe 300 trips, not 900.
It's a learning curve.
Yeah.
But it's the right way to do it. So thank you for...
Exactly.
Thank you for mentioning that. And in the gray water, you said 80% of our indoor water use is gray water. So you're diverting 80% of what you use indoors for that. And
you can, yes. That would assume that you do all of your plumbing as gray water.
Greg, what were some of the guidelines they convinced the department that it was okay? What are the guidelines you have to abide by?
You know what? We're going to get that in the next segment because I'm going to pull that document up and then I can read them right to you. And then anybody that wants a copy of this can email me at greg@urbanfarm.org. I'll get it to them.
That'd be great.
Perfect.
Yeah. So I'll pull that up. We can talk about that next segment.
Talking water and water harvesting, whether it's rain, gray water, evaporation. You know, you had mentioned condensation. We talked a little bit before the broadcast. There's a new invention out of, you know, designed here in Arizona. That's a unit that, you know, in when you take survival classes, they tell you to always carry a sheet of plastic with you. And if you found yourself out in the desert without water, you dig a hole, you put a cup right in the center of that hole, you cover that hole with plastic, and you put a rock right in the center, so the air condensates on the plastic underneath, it rolls down to that low point where the rock is, and it drips into your water. They basically have taken that into a solar unit and put it on your roof, so your drinking water is condensed out of the air.
Isn't that cool?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very excited about that technology.
So it'll be exciting to see all the new ways and all the new technologies that that come with water conservation, water harvesting, and water use. As you know, we've got the same amount of water, you know, on Earth, but a growing number of population, and how we all use and recycle that together. Final segment with Farmer Greg coming up.